Jack of All Nerds is recorded in front of a dead studio audience.
Give us any chance, we'll take it. With us any rule, we'll break it.
It's 8 p.m., kiddies, and you know what that means.
Guy love, he's mine, I'm his. There's nothing gay about it in our eyes.
You puny rangers, make my monster grow!
Oh no, guys! It's Bill Vitor! We need Krispy Kreme Megazord power now!
Welcome back to more Cooking with Bane.
Oh, you think grilling is your ally? Now's not the time to sear. That comes later.
Are you the doctor?
No, I'm the nurse.
Where is he?
You've been listening to the G-Spot, where we play nothing but Kenny G classics for a two-hour block of time. Due to explicit content, listener discretion is advised.
On with the show!
Hello, and welcome to the Jack of All Nerds on Chaotic Radio. I am the Jack of All Nerds, Michael Maxwell. Joining me, as always, Mr. Derek Murray.
Hello, Clarice. Hello, everyone.
Anyway, and in the booth, Danny Anthony.
Oh, thank you for that dramatic pause.
Problem.
Deadpool.
Deadpool. Captain Deadpool.
I just watched that recently, too.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Tonight, we are talking about a lot of stuff. We got all kinds of stuff to talk about. The big talking point for a little bit later in the show is it has been increasing with frequency, the amount of posts and articles that I have been seeing about Disney buying all of the Marvel properties back from Fox, just buying a bunch of stuff from Fox. And it seems like it's getting to the point where it's legitimate. This is one of those things where as soon as it came out, I was like, well, I'm not going to believe it until it actually happens. But we keep getting more and more stuff that's like, it's nearly there. It's almost there. The ink is on the pen. They're doing it with a quill. It's there. They just have to sign it.
They have to do it with a quill.
There's no other way. Blood too.
It's down on paper. Yeah. They just got to let it dry. Like, that's where we're getting to.
Yeah.
And so I feel like it is time to talk about that because I know everybody's like losing their shit with excitement, but I think there's a lot more to this than we need to think about, than just our favorite fucking characters appearing in the next Avengers movie. There's way more ramifications. I feel like we need to discuss it.
Sure.
So we'll do a little bit of that. You and I, Derek, have watched the big DC WB crossover event.
Mm-hmm.
CW. WB.
Because it was
the 90s called. CW crossover event for all four episodes of Arrow, Supergirl, Flash, and Legends of Tomorrow.
Yep.
And we've got some thoughts on it.
Yeah.
And so we'll discuss that briefly as well. But I guess we should probably, start off the way we always do. Roadhouse. Take it from you. Talking about the sponsors, everybody. That's right, the people who allow us to be here in the studio. First up, the Etiwanda Roadhouse.
Roadhouse!
Conveniently located off the 210 freeway at the Day Creek exit in Rancho Cucamonga, California. The Etiwanda Roadhouse.
Roadhouse!
Has nightly food specials, drink specials, live entertainment, pub trivia, karaoke, all kinds of good stuff. For more information, visit facebook.com/eRoadhouse.
Roadhouse!
Also check out The Dinner Detective, America's largest interactive murder mystery dinner show. Enjoy a fabulous four-course meal while solving a hilarious murder investigation. For more information, visit thedinnerdetective.com. And if you're purchasing tickets for the Claremont, California location, use the promo code CRIME to get a $5 discount. Also, Four Color Fantasies comic book store located in Rancho Cucamonga, California, everybody. For more information, visit fourcolorfantasies.com or facebook.com/4CF Rancho. Both of those are with the number 4. It's a great store, guys. They do a lot of cool events. They have all your favorite comic and collectible needs. Coming up next week is their private screening of Star Wars, The Last Jedi. And it's completely sold out. So if you haven't already gotten a ticket, then you lose. But we will be there giving out some prizes and stuff like that. They have a lot of cool stuff. You should check them out for further events. They're going to do a screening for Black Panther. Of course, anything comic book related coming up next year, there's going to be a screening for, so get on board and get some cool stuff. That sponsors everybody. Oh, yeah. And we can use that to segue into Patreon.
Yay!
You know what to do.
That's fuck it. You, pay me.
I'm trying to, wait, trying no. to keep that, trying to keep it condensed. Like I did with the sponsors last week. It didn't work out. All right. Well, Patreon guys. So sponsors, they pay for us to be here in the studio, but we have other costs involved to run the show, the website and our podcast hosting fees and all that kind of stuff. And you can help us out. That's right. For just pennies a day.
In the arms of the angel. You too can support nerds.
You can stop the physical abuse that Derek goes under every day.
It's true. It's true.
You just sit him in front of a TV and play that commercial all day long. He goes through so much ice cream.
Anyway, for as little as $1 a day, a month, a day, Jesus Christ.
I mean, come on.
The rich bitch.
I thought we were condensing this, Mike.
That's better.
That would be insanity. You gave $1 a day. To your Patreon support, let's take all your money. No, for $1 a month or as much as you want, you can lend us a support. You get cool stuff right out the gate. We send out some swag type items, Jack related things, Dark Crusader related things. But we also have monthly treats that we send out laced with cocaine and arsenic and all that kind of stuff.
Wait. All the things for the kids.
Razor blades.
Yeah, all that good stuff. Yeah. We did have to miss our bonus content for November just because it was just too busy with all the holidays and stuff like that. But we have coming out for December the commentary track for everyone's favorite Christmas movie, Die Hard.
That's right.
And you'll only get to listen to it if you're a patron. So, booyah, suck it, and thank you for your patronage.
Yeah! I'm out there.
That's the new quote right there. Booyah, suck it. Thank you for your patronage.
And we're out.
That's a t-shirt right there. Yeah. That's a bumper sticker. So head on over to patreon.com/jackofallnerds and, you know, lay down some cash.
Yeah.
So moving right along,
show
everybody.
Us the money.
Yes. So we've been doing our pumpkin spice challenge in October. It's not a peppermint challenge, but we are doing some holiday related stuff. Last week we were very disappointed with our peppermint, non-peppermint flavored Twinkies.
Yeah.
And so this week we're doing Oreo flavored candy canes.
There just can't be anything good that comes with this.
That I reiterate, this is not a peppermint flavored Oreo. This is an Oreo flavored candy cane, which I can tell you right now, that there is no chocolate involved in the making of this. It was like sugar and then corn syrup were the primary ingredients, which is just sugar and sugar. So I don't have high hopes for this tasting like an Oreo, and it smells like nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it's just going to taste kind of plasticky, that fake chocolate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It almost kind of has that scent. It doesn't have a strong scent, but it's...
Yeah. So,
Bon voyage.
Yeah, here we go.
Just put it in your mouth.
That is surprisingly chocolatey.
Yeah. It's amazing what they can do with sugar.
I'm going to need a second opinion. I don't know if this tastes like an Oreo. It does. It does kind of have that processed chocolate flavor, but I don't eat a lot of Oreos as a diabetic, so I'm not sure if this is like traditional Oreo flavor or not. I mean, it's not.
You're going to be the expert on this, Derek, because I don't eat a lot of Oreos.
I don't eat a lot of Oreos either.
It actually does kind of have that Hostess cupcake flavor.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of what I'm getting.
Okay.
Like the cream in the center.
Oh, I'll get in on this. I'm going to go from the bottom.
Now you're here. That's terrible.
Oh,
I do not like that at all.
Oh, wow.
It is plasticky chocolate.
Yeah,
oh,
that
no,
is...
I forgot to roll up the plastic. Sorry.
That is processed.
That is not good.
But are you getting that kind of Hostessy flavor, that artificial chocolate and lard flavor?
In a really plasticky way. Like, it tastes as unnatural as it sounds.
Yep. That's going in the garbage.
Yeah, that's...
Where it belongs.
It is not...
That is not good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ah.
Like, it keeps tricking me. I keep going back to see if, like, If there's a different flavor.
No, I can literally, all I taste is plastic. Like, that is disgusting. And.
Yeah, like a chocolate flavored mint without the mint flavor.
Yeah. It's weird.
It's weird.
I'm going to go ahead and set this off to the side and never look back.
But hey, at least it comes in a box of way too many. So,
if you want one,
come on down. Be a patriot.
Look, all I know is I've got something to give to the Salvation Army now. There you go. Let's.
And even they'll.
Way to give back.
Yeah. Even they'll throw it out. They're like, you see them walking up with it. They're like, oh, no, thank you. We're good. We're good. We'll pay you to take those away.
Oh, God. So gross.
Yeah. You got a chaser?
Because that's. Yeah, I do.
Because of the sugar, it coats your mouth. And so that flavor just does not leave.
Yeah.
Nope.
That's.
Yep. It's lingering.
Get that out of there.
Just like an ex-girlfriend that won't leave you alone.
Anyway. All right, guys. Well, let's move on. That was quick and painful. moving on to Blast from the Past. Now, guys, let's make this announcement right now. We've only got two blasts left.
Ooh.
Not just of the year, but ever.
What?
Until we eventually get bored and come back to it. But so there's been this thing going around the internet that we've all seen. The if you watch one Marvel movie a week, starting January 1st, it'll take you up to Avengers. So that's what we're going to do.
Yep.
Starting January, our first show of the year, all three of us are going to, not together, we're holding hands or anything, unless you'd like to think of it that way. But you never know.
Donate to our Patreon, and that's what we'll do.
Yes. We'll film it and everything.
We'll film it. Yep.
So we're all going to do this kind of challenge. We're going to watch one Marvel movie each week. And it'll kind of take the place of Blast from the Past. I mean, these are all movies that, honestly, I haven't watched most of them in a long time.
Yeah, there's been a lot of them I haven't seen in a while.
We're going to go back and see what we thought, and we'll come back and each, you know, give a kind of quick discussion about it like we do with Blast from the Past.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then once that's over, who knows? Sky's the limit.
I mean, the world might be a different place once Infinity War comes out.
It very well could be.
That's true.
So we'll see how it goes. But yeah, so we're only doing Blast from the Past two more times. And this week, who is starting it off? I think it might be Derek.
From 95.
Yeah.
Huh?
It's you, buddy.
All right. So I decided to go back to my roots and scour Netflix for movies I know I haven't seen that fall into this.
So you watched Roots?
I did. I watched Roots. That's my blast in the past. No. So I came across the Jet Li movie I'd never seen. It's called Meltdown on Netflix, but the actual title of the film is called High Risk.
Well, it actually, not just on Netflix, when it was released on video, because that's how I saw it on DVD, it was released as Meltdown. It's only, I guess the original title is High Risk in China.
Yeah.
China.
China.
What's funny is that this movie is actually almost a jab at Jackie Chan. Which is weird that it stars Jet Li, because they don't really have beef, but I guess what happened is, Jackie Chan worked with this director on a movie previously, and, that movie was terrible, and Jackie Chan, like, publicly disowned it and talked shit about the director in all kinds of interviews.
Oh, wow.
So the director, when he came across this film, he basically, like, rewrote it and kind of redesigned it to make fun of Jackie Chan. So essentially the plot of this film, yeah, I know, it's crazy.
It's a dick move.
It's a super dick move.
So professional.
So the movie stars Jet Li as Kit Li, which at that point, like, just fucking call him Jet Li. Like, why do you have to?
There are so many movies that they're done in China, and then when they're brought over here, the main characters are almost the exact same name of their actors.
Yeah, it's
Jackie has played Jackie in I don't even know how many movies.
So he plays a bomb squad detective by the name of Kit Li, and he goes to disarm a bomb, and it all goes horribly wrong. He can't save anybody. It kills a whole bus full of people, including his family. So he decides he's leaving the bomb squad, and because he's Jet Li and he's a martial artist, he's going to be a stunt double for big famous actors. One of those actors is Frank Leon, who is basically Jackie Chan. He's known for doing all his own stunts, and he's like this high profile guy. Well, it turns out that, he doesn't do all his own stunts. He's a boozer. He's a womanizer. He's a total fraud. And Jet Li has been doing all of his stunts. And this,
so you're saying the director had beef with Jackie Chan? I never would have guessed.
I know, right? It's just the way it all goes. Yeah, it's awful. And Jackie Chan hated him for it. Like, he hated this movie because this guy did this. So basically it comes out, a reporter films, Jet Li doing the stunts and, decides she's going to expose it to boost her ratings. And then there's a, terrorist leader named the Doctor, who basically hatches a plot to go after those two. And then, you know, obviously fights ensue and they're trying to survive, I guess. But I, you know, overall, like, as far as Jet Li movies go, it's not the best. I think there's way better Jet Li movies. But it's also not the worst. We were talking about it off air. It's no Black Mask. Cause honestly, Black Mask, I tried to watch it a couple times and it's almost unwatchable. Like, that is a really hard movie to get through.
I kind of want to go back and try to watch Black Mask now though, after we talked about it. Cause all I remember about that movie was the big, the picture shot where he does the splits on the wall. And like, that was like probably the best part of the movie from my recollection.
Yeah. And it's just, it's weird and, yeah, everything about that movie is bizarre. But this is not, it's not that bad. It's not great. It's not a great film. And now that I know the history of it being like a mockery of Jackie Chan, it almost kind of makes me not like it because I love Jackie Chan. But you know what? I'm going to go ahead and give it a blast. It was still pretty fun to watch. And, I can't in all fairness say that it was a bad movie. So
that's surprising. I totally thought you were going the other way.
Really?
Yeah. I did.
Yeah. It's just not bad enough for me to be like, I will never watch this again. So.
Okay. All right. Next up is Danny with the 1991.
Yeah. Damn, really? 91?
Yep.
Wow. I did Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret
Ninja,
of the Ooze.
Go Ninja, go. Go Ninja, go Ninja, go. Go Ninja. Sorry.
Yeah. I don't know the dance.
I do.
I was doing it right behind you. Okay. So this is a sequel to, what was it, 1989 Ninja Turtles? Or was it 88? I think it was 89.
I think the original Ninja Turtles is 89.
I could probably look that up, but I'm busy sharing stuff on Twitter.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like you do.
Yeah.
No, I'm almost positive.
And I will say this one is nowhere near as edgy or dramatic. This one's more of a fun and more kid friendly. Mike actually brought this up and, told me about this. Like, you very rarely see the turtles use weapons in this movie because a bunch of parents called in and was like, hey, no weapons. That's not good for kids.
They lost their shit over the first one.
Yeah.
And about all the weapon usage and the violence in a movie called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. And what's funny is I never realized that that was a thing, like that actually happened, how different those two movies actually are until I rewatched them as an adult. And I was like, oh yeah, no, this was for children.
The plot of this is it's more of like the turtles finally get to know where they come from. There's a company called TCRI. They're into like, I don't know what it's called. I think it's mutagenics or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, April O'Neil's trying to do this like expose on them, trying to help the turtles really find out where they came from. All the while, the Foot Clan is not dead. They're dwindling, and the Shredder has come back. He's not dead, and he tries to reinvigorate the Foot Clan. And that's when newcomer Kino gets dragged along. Kino, early on, kind of befriends the turtles and says, hey, I'm a martial artist. They're looking for martial artists. I can get in there and find out what's going on for you guys. And the turtles at first are like, no, but Raph and him have the same kind of mindset and say, let's do it. And so they find out that the Shredder has been tampering with the mutagens and has created his own mutants. And this is one of the parts of the movie where I was kind of like, just call him Bebop and Rocksteady, man.
No, but that is what it is. Like, he's going to make his own mutants. Bebop and Rocks. What? You couldn't get the rights, so we got Toka and Rezar?
What was it, like a coyote and a snapping turtle?
Yeah.
Well, it was a wolf.
It was a wolf. Okay.
Yeah. Or it was supposed to be.
you definitely know the turtle's a turtle.
Yeah.
Because he does say that. And then the wolf, snapping turtle.
Babies!
Mama!
They are babies!
Mama! Play!
I'm actually okay with that. That turned out kind of fine. I mean, it is very kiddy. But the best part of this movie is definitely the Vanilla Ice ninja rap scene.
Well, obviously.
And then from there it goes to the Shredder puts the mutagen on himself, becomes Super Shredder.
For like 2 fucking seconds.
2 seconds.
Oh, that irritated the shit out of me.
It could have been such a great moment, but he just goes crazy and decides to destroy a pier. And
he looked fucking phenomenal, yes. But the fact that they don't actually fight, you're just like, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Like 91. I was 10 and I was disappointed. Yeah. Like that was my no ninja fight with Wolverine in the Wolverine.
Yeah.
From 91.
That was your moment.
Yeah, so I will say I love this movie. I'm kind of disappointed that the majority of the cast didn't come back. I mean, you didn't have the original April. You had Paige Turco instead. No Casey Jones. Mm-hmm. But instead we got Kino. I will say the opening scene of this movie is really fun. The department store robbery. It was a lot of fun.
With the bad guys who don't know why they wear masks.
Yeah.
He pulls the mask off. What are you, night security? What are you, an idiot? Put your mask back on.
So yeah, this movie gets a blast from me.
Yeah. I have to agree. Even though, like, when I saw it as a kid, like, the idea that they don't actually use their weapons never really dawned on me. It wasn't until much later, and I found out about the whole, like, parents, because, you know, they're marketing action figures and stuff, and the parents lost their shit over it, that, yeah, you really don't see them fight with their weapons. And you're
like, right.
Huh. Never really thought about that.
Instead, they use sausage links and yo-yos.
Which, doesn't that seem worse? That you're teaching kids that they can beat the shit out of people with a yo-yo?
That a yo-yo can be a weapon now? Like,
well, the yo-yo has always been a weapon.
So, yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. It's a great flick. All right, guys, so we're going to take a little step back to 1987.
Yeah.
The year of my birth.
For a little Patrick Swayze movie called Steel Dawn. And I know what you're thinking. Don't you mean Red Dawn? No. Mm-hmm. No, I don't. I mean Steel Dawn. This was, I guess they were trying to capitalize on the popularity of movies with steel and dawn in the title.
Mm-hmm.
So what this is back after Mad Max made it big, like, and everybody was rushing to make post-apocalyptic films. This is where that falls in. It's in a world where, as like,
in
so
the world.
So where Mad Max, it was fuel.
In a time.
Where fuel was the big, like, everybody needs fuel. Mm-hmm. In this one, it's water. So everything's very deserty. Water is the big thing that everyone's fighting over. The Swayze, he plays a peacekeeper, I think is what they're called. And picture, if you will, opening on a desert scenario. We see Patrick Swayze standing on his head for whatever reason, meditating. That's how you meditate, on your head.
Well, yeah.
And then these things come up out of the sand and he fucks them all up. That's how the film opens. And then they show him traveling. His name is Nomad, by the way.
Mm. Aptly named, it seems.
And I don't know that it's actually his name, but he never says his name. In fact, at one point, someone asks him, what's your name? And he goes, I'm not partial to anything, whatever you like. And you're like, okay. So it's just because he's a wanderer. So
this already sounds like Waterworld without water.
but in the desert.
I have to say, it's actually infinitely better than Waterworld.
Well,
anything is infinitely better than Waterworld.
Low on that.
Yeah, I've done Waterworld for Blast from the Past. I know.
So he meets his old mentor, who is still a peacekeeper. Apparently, he isn't. Like, he just wanders around. And there's some sort of tragic backstory where his loved ones were killed. We never see that. We just hear him allude to it.
Please tell me his name is Wade Garrett.
No.
Damn it.
No, he's got an Asian master who dies, like, almost immediately upon meeting him. He's only around long enough to tell him that he got a job to go defend a farm. And then these dudes show up and murder him that were obviously paid for by the person who's been attacking the farm.
Mm-hmm.
Swayze goes to the farm, doesn't tell him he's a peacekeeper, and he's just like, I'm here for work. And then he defends the settlement. Turns out there's a bunch of water that they have found, like a never-ending supply, she says, which That's obviously a false statement. Never ending. Come on now. And the woman, the like love interest, is played by his real life wife.
Oh,
which I think was very interesting. Hmm. And the Swayze does the cardinal. He breaks the cardinal sin rule of not acting with children or pets or animals, mm-hmm. because there's both in this movie. There's a dog and a kid.
Hmm.
They don't have a big part, but they're there.
Yeah.
So he defends the settlement, and you know he lives on the settlement. And he grows close with these people. There's a big ultimate badass fight that he has with the dude who murdered his master. It's actually pretty good. Like, the action in this is very Roadhouse. Like, it's got the Swayze all over it. And he does very well.
Roadhouse. Come Roadhouse. On, man.
And for being that this movie was, like, hard to see in the States, it's pretty good. Like, it's one of those where I didn't even know this movie existed until recently. And I gotta say, I enjoyed it. I'm definitely giving it a blast. If you're into that whole post-apocalyptic thing, or you just like Swayze movies, where, you
Ghost.
Know. It's very much like Ghost.
Sounds like the same plot of Ghost. Yeah, they're like identical.
It's really a lot like Roadhouse. If you like Roadhouse, you'll probably like this. So.
All right.
Yeah. That's Blast from the Past, everybody.
Three blasts tonight.
I know. Solid. It's weird. All right, so let's go ahead and take our first commercial break of the night. And when we come back, it's time for some current events, everybody. The internet was set afire. I don't know. Actually, this one, I didn't hear many people talking about it. But we're going to talk about the Jurassic World Part Deuce trailer that hit the internet when we come back. So if you wish to join the conversation, give us a call 909-360-8330. Message us on Facebook, facebook.com/jackofallnerds, or on twitch.tv/jackofallnerds. We will be right back.
The new Jack Bull's gonna rock and roll the place with the power of the Ninja Turtle face. Iceman, you know I'm not playing. Devastate the show what the turtles are saying. Ninja, rock. Ninja, ninja, rock.
Chaotic Radio, because the rest is just a waste of time.
Welcome back to the Jack of All Nerds on Chaotic Radio tonight. Guys, we are talking about stuff and things, but mostly stuff.
It's a very different show tonight.
Yes. Normally we lead with things and then we maybe touch on stuff.
We just want to change shit up. You know what I mean? We just want to do stuff differently.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
It's current event time, everybody.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Yay.
Yay.
And you know what's current? What's fresh?
Events.
What's jive? Is,
tip.
You know what's on fleek, everybody?
Oh, wow.
Oh.
I think the people that I'm about to talk about will probably remove us, for introducing them that way.
I think so.
It's Hyper RPG, everybody.
Woo!
If you don't check those guys out on twitch.tv/HyperRPG, you should do it.
Yeah.
But they're awesome. They do a lot of cool programming. And they, you know what? They feature our show on their SoundCloud, everybody.
Sure.
So go over there and check out all their other cool stuff. That is soundcloud.com/HyperRPG.
Yeah, you know me.
What? Anyway, sorry. And to all those on Hyper RPG, I wholeheartedly apologize for using on fleek to describe your show. That was my bad.
That's right. I mean, you tried. You tried.
I mean, I don't take it back at all. Psych!
Moated.
Man, he punked you.
Can we just do a whole show where we just...
90s idioms.
Yeah. That would be the bomb, yo.
That's fresh.
Oh, wow. All right.
Dope.
That's all that and a bag of chips.
Oh, Jesus.
But it's current event time, so it's time to talk about what the...
Oh, yeah.
Anywho, so Jurassic World 2, The Search for More Money. What was the actual title of it?
Fallen Kingdom.
The Fallen Kingdom.
I think it's Jurassic World Volcano, Dante's Peak.
Literally Fire Island.
Yeah. Okay.
So the trailer came out, and this is one of those where I know, like, Facebook was like, hey, this trailer's out, but I didn't see a lot of reaction to it. Kind of like when... Infinity War came out and everyone lost their fucking minds. Like, I really didn't see a whole lot of that with this. And I was honestly a little bit underwhelmed by this trailer.
Yeah.
To me, it had very much the vibe of Jurassic Park 2, mm-hmm. The Lost World. Like, it, why the fuck are we going back to the island again?
Yeah.
Like, you left the first one in this way that could open it up to where it could actually be a Jurassic World? But then we have this trailer where they're just like, hey, some shit went down. We got to go back to the island. I don't want to. Well, we're gonna. Okay.
Like, yeah, there's your fucking movie.
Yeah, to me, it just, it screams Lost World. And yeah. It shouldn't. Like, I don't want that.
Right.
So, what did you guys think?
No, I completely agree with you. And when I watched it, down to the point of them bringing Jeff Goldblum back, where it was just like, okay, this, you guys, the whole point of you remaking Jurassic Park and having it be like a, you know, a reboot, but also giving all these nice little nods to the original is so that you can restart the franchise and go in new directions. I don't need to see, I've already seen The Lost World. It was terrible. I don't need to see another version of The Lost World. Like, I don't know. I thought it was dumb. And then the fact that it's like, not really even about the dinosaurs. It's about a fucking volcano that's going to explode and kill everything on the island. And the argument is like, well, we should save the creatures. And it's like, that's not a movie. Like, that's a political thriller about the lives of animals and what man has done and their mistakes. Like, what? No, that's stupid. That's stupid.
I bet PETA's really happy about it, though.
No, it's so dumb. And the fact that you're going to be like, guys, we got to go save all these animals because there's a volcano. Then you send fucking everybody. Yeah. Why are you sending 5 people?
Derek, when it comes to ruining franchises, studios will find a way.
Life
finds a way.
You were so busy wondering if you could, you never stopped to think if you should.
It all what applies.
You call a sequel? It all applies, yep.
What you call a sequel, I call The Rape of Jurassic World.
Who knew? He's been fucking right this entire time.
Yeah.
So what were your thoughts, Danny?
I honestly think it's like one of the stupidest premises ever.
Mm-hmm.
It's just stupid. It doesn't really scream that franchise to me.
Like when you went through all this trouble to let the scientist, what's his name? BD Wong or whatever, his character.
Yeah.
From the first one, escaped the island with all the shit, mm-hmm. mind you.
Yeah.
And you had this kind of subplot in the first one where InGen just wants to weaponize these dinosaurs, and now you have the means to kind of go that route and do something with that subplot.
Yeah, right.
And it feels like they just ignored it.
Yeah.
No, I agree. I think a better... not even going back to the island, I think a better thing would be, he does escape with all this stuff, and I don't know, let's say it gets stolen, or let's say it falls into the wrong hands, and now they're making dinosaurs where they fucking shouldn't, and there's a real threat that they're gonna get to places that they shouldn't be, and we gotta go stop them. That, even as dumb as that is, that to me feels more of like a, we're gonna expand the world, and put dinosaurs in new places.
Well, I think this is that movie that kind of sets that up. Because if they're taking the dinosaurs, they're going to have to put them somewhere.
No, that's it's
I mean,
just,
ultimately, they're obviously setting up for Jurassic World 3D. And Jurassic World The Revenge. Yep. So
I think that's what's happening.
It's inevitable. It's going to happen.
And the T-Rex is going to hunt Chris Pratt down across worlds.
Turns out they're great swimmers.
With the little
arms.
No, there's one thing the Land Before Time taught me. It's that T-Rexes can't swim.
Oh, shit. Wow. I'm not thrilled about this. And I didn't even really care for Jurassic World. Like, I know everybody kind of lost their shit on it, and I thought it was just okay.
For
like,
what it was, I thought they did, giving Jurassic World, or, you know, Jurassic Park, the kind of Star Wars treatment.
Yeah.
With Force Awakens, where it was like, we're basically retelling the first story, but sure. For a new audience. I thought they handled it well, aside from a few glaring mistakes, like outrunning a T-Rex in heels. Or,
what?
Look, heels, she could have fucking had the heels off, and I don't buy. When they're, when the T-Rex was catching them in a fucking Jeep in the first movie.
Yeah.
Well, the T-Rex is a lot older now. It's the same T-Rex from the first movie, so.
Is it?
It needed a little T-Rex speed. Walker. So it can't run that fast anymore.
It's fucking teeth are falling.
It's got cataracts. No.
Still don't buy it.
It's got a bum knee.
The T-Rex and dentures, I don't know. No.
You guys gotta look into the subplots.
Gotta really read into the character of T-Rex and who he is now.
No.
That's all I'm saying, man.
Stupid. All I'm anyway.
Saying. But I agree. I thought it was okay. It wasn't terrible, but it just wasn't. I knew when it made $1 billion, they were like, well, now we've got to make these forever. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think you can just leave the magic to your billion and call it a day. But yeah.
All right. So Danny, there was a recent, some updates with the Destiny Dose.
Yeah. They just, launched season 2. And for those of us who actually got the season pass, it's,
you poor sap.
I actually didn't spend anything on it. Like, I had lots of credit to GameStop, so I was just like, yeah, fuck it. Give me the $100 package.
Give me the deluxe. Give it all.
Give me one of everything on the menu.
I only ended up paying, I think, like $30 for it, so.
Okay. So you went into GameStop like a baller at a big restaurant. Sir, you don't want to see the prices? Just give me one of everything.
Pretty much.
No, it's cool. I got credit. Which no one has at GameStop, so that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So what did the update include?
The update included their new story missions, Curse of Osiris. It's about like the greatest guardian of all time, who taught Ikora Rey how to be a warlock and all that. And his mission is to prevent this Vex superpower from erasing the guardians out of time. So,
right.
Yeah.
And is it good?
It's Destiny. So no. Nothing really changes. You just get a new story to play through.
Did it come with, like new gear? And
yes, there's
stuff like
new
that?
Armor. They said there's new weapons. I've only seen one. Mm-hmm. And it's a new, what do they call it? I think it's like line rifle. Like, you know, you beat the game the first time, you get that frozen one.
Yeah, shitty one.
This one's actually a solar energy one, and it's a little OP, so I don't mind it.
All right.
A couple new multiplayer maps. I think that's it for now.
Right. Well, I mean, I still own the game, so maybe someday I'll check it out, but I actually just recently re-added Warframe.
They just had
a huge.
Yeah, they really basically changed the game.
Yeah, so
I'm gonna. I haven't actually played it since I reinstalled it, but
this is still
free. It's a free game, so might as well.
Yeah.
Well, and even if it's the nice part about Xbox, and I assume PlayStation must do something similar, is even if it's a free game, once you've downloaded it,
mm-hmm.
you own it.
You own it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
even if it's not free,
yeah, you take it off. If that game changes where it's not free anymore. You still own it, so you can just re-download it, which is what I did.
That's cool.
So,
yeah, I might do that. I still have to get through Assassin's Creed. Like I've said before, I just don't have the time to just sit down and really crunch through it.
Yeah.
But I'm also like, I've set out to like uncover every location I can possibly find and do all the side quests and it's massive.
Yeah, if you do everything in Assassin's Creed, it's a lengthy game. If you were to just do the story missions straight through, number one, I don't think you could.
No, you couldn't. You would die.
Because you'd get murdered. But even if you were to just hit the level cap and then do it.
Right.
It you could do it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But it does take a while to reach the level cap, so.
Yeah. And I'm almost to 40. I've almost hit the level cap and I still have, I want to say quite a bit of the mission to go, of the actual story to go, but that's because like I got two new main quest missions and I've just been fucking off like doing the whole sides of the map and then going in and trying to work it through. Managed to kill all the Falakis before I reached the level cap, which was
fuck those guys.
I was so fucking proud. It felt so good. And I lucked out because the last two that I fought, I happened to fight right around where there were rebels. And so they were distracted because they're just designed to kill anything that comes and attacks them. So I was able to just fire off arrows from afar And he would like try to come towards me, but then all the rebels would like attack him. So he'd have to stop and like fight him. And they're not really doing damage, but it kept him at bay.
Yeah, it's a distraction.
And then once I got him to half life and the rebels were still coming at him, fucking charged up and just lit him the fuck up. I did that to the last two. And I think the last two were both 40 and I was level 38, 39. And then I had to go kill some fucking crocodiles. Which is dumb,
that's how you get your ninja suit.
I know. So dumb.
Is it like a leather skin ninja suit? Like an alligator skin?
Unfortunately, no, it's not. It's just like once you've defeated all the Falakis, you're supposed to go, you collect things off of them and then that's supposed to lead you to this person and you turn it in and you're supposed to get something. But when you get there, she's like, I don't fucking believe you. Go kill all these crocodiles to prove it. And you're like, but I just killed.
But I just killed like the hardest people in the entire fucking game.
Like these crocodiles wouldn't be able to kill these motherfuckers. Like,
that was me, bitch. Give me my suit.
I don't understand your shit. So you go kill like a handful of crocodiles and you come back and then she's like, all right, it's in the fucking ocean. Go swim for it. And then you do that and you swim down to the bottom of the water. You open a chest and you get this black kind of, the only way I can describe it is like a ninja
it's
suit.
It's like a ninja suit. Like an That's Egyptian exactly what ninja it's like. Suit. Yep.
And you goddamn right we put it on.
Yep. Like immediately.
It's not easy to get.
Yep. I don't even care for it, actually. It's not even my favorite wardrobe that he has.
No, the fucking snake armor you get for pre-ordering the game.
It's the best armor I've found so far.
It's like, easily.
Yeah. But I didn't earn it the way I did with the Falakis, so. Yeah.
All right. also, recently, well, I would say within a couple of weeks, the big CW Warner Brothers crossover event.
Yeah.
Crisis on Earth X, mm-hmm. I think was the name of it.
Yep.
Happened, and you and I happened to watch it for whatever reason. Like, I haven't even watched any of those shows since, like, midway through last season.
Yeah.
That's where I dropped off. But we still record them.
Yeah.
And I've been seeing the ads for it, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to check it out so that it can infuriate me just like the previous one did. But I have to say, they handled this one way better.
Yeah.
Way better.
Yeah,
like everybody gets like a good chunk of the crossover?
Yeah, like so Supergirl is actually part of the crossover this time.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Not just
her own episode, and then she jumps in at the end.
Yeah.
Like it starts on her series, like she kicks it off, and she goes over to, you know, Barry's Earth or whatever, like right away, and yeah, it jumps in and they did a great fucking job this time.
No, they really do. And it's cool because they do kind of bring everything together because they're supposed to be a wedding and that's the excuse that everybody's like in the same universe. You know, and they're all in the same city. And then obviously like chaos ensues and Nazis show up. I don't watch any of those shows anymore. I watched like the first season of Flash and then just kind of fell off. I watched up to, I think halfway through season 4 of Arrow. I never watched Legends of Tomorrow. I've only watched Supergirl because my girlfriend loves Supergirl. I only kind of peek in on The Flash because she was. So the only reason I even watched the crossover is because she had recorded them all and she was watching them and I just, by, you know, proximity, I was like, all right, well, I'll sit here and watch. And then I ended up really enjoying it.
Yeah.
So.
And it's still got all the CW beats. There's still lots of love drama.
Yeah. There's still, look, if you think Arrow doesn't brood in this entire thing, even his evil doppelganger.
Yeah, you get it twice.
Even his evil Nazi doppelganger is brooding as shit.
Yeah, you get brooding Nazi Arrow and Nazi Supergirl.
Yeah.
And I think I almost feel like that one was for the fans because Nazi Arrow and Nazi Supergirl are a couple.
Yeah.
And so it kind of felt like the fans were like, yeah, we want to see those two make out. Let's do that. All right.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about people who watch TV, but they love to watch hot people kiss.
I
mean, who doesn't, really?
And look, everybody on all of those shows are hot, so it could be anyone.
Just fucking go for it.
Yeah.
We get to see, the alternate kind of gay version of Captain Cold.
Yeah.
And he gets to get his freak on, get some making out.
Yeah.
There's, The Supergirl's sister and White Canary have a one-night stand.
Yeah. So there's a lot that goes down in this crossover.
Everyone gets to get some. You know what I mean?
But everyone except Diggle,
Diggle's almost not even in it.
He's not even in it. And this is I wanted to tweet this out so bad just to Sam. I wanted to just do this to Sam because it turns out the only thing Diggle is good at when everything goes to shit and you need every single person with a superpower is fucking marrying the superheroes. That's it. That's the only thing he does.
Yeah. Apparently in their show, he must be injured or something because they just mentioned like he's in recovery.
Yeah.
And that's how he shows up right at the end. But it's funny because he has maybe 2 minutes of screen time, and the Diggle of the Supergirl universe, Jimmy Olsen, also has about the same amount of screen time.
Yeah.
And it's not even him. It's like a alternate version of him from Earth X.
Yeah.
That gets killed right away.
Yeah.
So.
It's, yeah. But Diggle is, I don't know why he's still alive. I have no idea. But no,
any of the Team Arrow for that matter.
Yeah.
When they showed up and then got their asses kicked by alternate Earth Arrow, I was like, that feels right.
Yeah. No, it totally does. Cause, and honestly, the action, in this crossover is done really well. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of kind of bad CG moments. But for the most part, like, you really get to see some
still handled way better than Justice League.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, so you do get to see a lot of really good, like, one-on-one combat. It's actually really cool to watch Arrow and Evil Arrow fight, against each other, cause you get that really cool style that they have. But yeah, I mean, everybody gets a pretty good highlight, and I thought it was done really well.
And we probably should have prefaced this before we started into it. We're giving away spoilers, but. Fuck it. It's been 2 weeks. So we just had a listener say they were, I was so upset with the character death in the crossover. And I will say this. I knew ahead of time that Victor Garber was leaving Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
And so, I wasn't sure how they were going to handle it. And I did not expect them to handle it in the crossover event.
Yeah.
Yeah, he dies.
Who's Victor Garber? Who's he playing
Legends? He's the older white half of Firestorm. Okay.
Professor Stein.
Yeah, oh my God, though. That motherfucker, it's one of those things where a lot of the acting on the CW stuff is pretty campy.
Yeah.
You don't see, like, sure, a lot of people cry all the time or they're brooding, but he puts in I got misty, dude.
No, Titanic.
This guy is
he fucking stands out. Ooh. Like, I don't watch any of those shows, and I was like, this is fucking in the feels right now. Cause he fucking acts the shit out of this. And it's amazing that they do it in the crossover, because it's like, you've got all of these things going on, and you're able to highlight this moment of not just a character death, but just like his relationship to, what's the kid?
Jefferson,
like his relationship to him, and just like everything that's going on between them, and then how he died. Like, it's just, it's incredible.
And,
it's
and
a
honestly,
really, really,
so does that
really
mean, like,
well done.
Like, Firestorm's like out of commission now, or?
Obviously there's some sort of plot going on in the Legends where, they've found a way to maybe get rid of the whatever is causing them to be Firestorm. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of touched on at the start of this, where they have a way that they can do it. And it's going to allow Professor Stein to go home to be with his wife and his daughter.
Yeah.
And he even tries to come up with some sort of thing that would give, Jefferson powers, but they're not Firestorm powers. Like, they kind of joke on it, where he's like, I'd be Spider-Man. He was like, yeah, but. But you wouldn't have the webs or the strength.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I get a spider sense. No, you wouldn't have that either. He's like, well, then what the hell would I have? He's like, well, you could stick to things. but like, he's not happy about it, but not because of that. It's because basically Professor Stein has become like a father to him.
Yeah.
And they'd be breaking that up. And so he's real emotional. And I got to say, like, even he.
Yeah.
Puts in some fucking
emotion. Yeah, he really
emotion.
Does.
Like, they did it really, really well.
Yeah, they did it really well.
It's like, it sucks to see that character go, but I thought they handled it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
really,
I think
really
they
well.
Did a really good job.
For me, a couple of standout moments just in the big finale.
Yeah.
So the alternate Supergirl is called the General on her planet. And so there's a scene where Supergirl, the evil Supergirl's in a spaceship, and they're like, we've got an object off the port or whatever, and it's Supergirl, and she's standing outside with her arms crossed, and she goes, General, would you care to step outside? And it was such a great fucking reference to Superman, too. I was like, yes! And then the moment later where, the evil Supergirl's gonna like explode and destroy everything.
Yeah.
And the one Supergirl has her, and the character, I can't remember his name, but, he's from Flash. You know who I'm talking about.
Is it Cisco?
Not Cisco, the older guy. I'm blanking on the actor's name.
Shit.
Wells?
The Wells from the alternate Earth.
Yeah.
He's there. He's telling her what she needs to do. He's like, you need to fly up, and away. And that was one of those. It was such a dumb thing. Yeah. You're like,
this crossover episode had a ton of those. Like, because they introduce Mallo, and Mallo's in there, and they basically just load him up with Terminator references, like the whole time. Because I think there's one point where Sisko is with one of the other superheroes from Earth X, and Mallo shows up, and the guy, I think the guy goes, "Oh, I'll be back," or something like that. And Sisko just starts laughing, and the guy's like, "What's so funny?" He's like, "I just love a good pop culture reference." And they do that all throughout. So it's really, I thought it was done really, really well. And they had a lot of standout moments like that were pretty funny.
To be honest, it almost made me want to get back on board and start watching again. I'm not sure if I will, just because I'm still on the superhero show burnout.
Yeah.
But it was handled so well.
Because Diane, my girlfriend doesn't watch Arrow. That's the one show she does. She's just like, I can't deal with it. It's too brooding. Which is saying a lot considering how many episodes of Supergirl I've watched where I was like, this is cheesy as shit. But I will say though that the Flash is still kind of, aside from some of their weird episodes, like the Flash is still probably the most consistent show in being watchable. Mm-hmm. Cause I've watched most of the Flash now because I just by proximity. And that one is still relatively interesting.
A lot of that is owed to Sisko, like the character of Sisko, and the guy who plays him is just on point. Like he is a very good comedian, and whoever writes for him too is just perfect.
Well, and just the stories, like, I mean, yes, it still has that, you know,
CW
stench, but at the same time, like, you know, the way they kind of do their villains and, you know, sure, everybody has powers, but it doesn't feel overwhelming. Like the way Arrow is, where it's like every fucking person he meets gets something. It's like, okay, like,
but it is now like every show has like 1,000 superheroes on their team.
Yeah. All of them.
Because like she hadn't gone full Killer Frost the last time I'd seen Flash. And now the fact that it's like the Hulk.
Yeah.
With her, where she, when she gets angry or scared, she becomes Killer Frost. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, sure, whatever.
Yeah.
It's fine. But then she still has complete control over Killer Frost.
Well, and they did do a whole thing about, like, her wrestling with being Killer Frost.
I'm sure they have. I just haven't watched the show. So there was a lot of things that I had to adjust to. But at the same time, it was still very easy to settle in with everything.
Yeah.
So.
For sure.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, let's do this. Let's take our next commercial break. And then when we come back, I think it's time to dive into our main topic.
Let's do it.
Disney, the monopoly, is going to buy the world. But they're starting with Fox properties. So we're going to discuss the ramifications of that. If you wish to join the conversation, give us a call, 909-360-8330. Message us on Facebook, facebook.com/jackofallnerds, or on twitch.tv/jackofallnerds. We will be right back. Come on and slam, and welcome to the jam. Come on and slam, you wanna jam.
It's raw, it's uncensored, it's live 24/7. It's chaoticradio.com.
Oh, hi-ho, everyone. This is Kermit the Frog. You're listening to the Jack of All Nerds show on Chaotic Radio.
Welcome back to the Jack of All Nerds on Chaotic Radio. I almost died right then. Sorry, I'm eating one of these stupid candy canes. Yeah, even though they're terrible, because I'm having a low blood sugar at the moment, and the amount of sugar that just coated my mouth, I almost choked on it right before we came back.
It's like you're damned if you do, damned if you don't, man.
Yeah, it's the world is going to kill me one way or the other. Welcome back, everybody. So it is time to get to the main topic, and that main topic
is main event time.
That's right, Sunday. Disney buying Fox. I mean, not Fox, but like Fox properties. Mm-hmm. Many much of Fox.
Many much moosin'.
Yeah, so there, I think there's a lot of arguments on both sides for this. There's lots of people that are super excited because that would mean that some of the characters we thought would never be showing up in an Avengers movie might now do that.
Yeah.
But then there's also people that are not excited about this because they think that like things like Deadpool will no longer be able to have R ratings.
I disagree.
So that's where we're gonna weigh in on this right now.
Okay.
Do you want to start with that?
Yeah.
Danny?
Yeah, because I mean, look what they did with The Punisher and Daredevil. Like, these are edgy, gritty shows, and the only reason they're not rated R is because they don't have the same rating system.
Yeah, well, and they're also doing The Runaways,
mm-hmm.
which seems dark and twisted and not
angsty
for kids at all. So, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you're also dealing with television in that regard, and I think it's already been announced that they're not going to be doing any new stuff with Netflix because Disney's planning on launching its own streaming service.
That's right. Yeah. They're doing New Mutants, which also, not Runaways. I'm sorry. They are doing Runaways, but New Mutants is the one. Cause remember, we saw the trailer for that and I was like, that's not Disney at all.
No, that's a horror movie.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's still Fox, I think.
Is it?
Is it?
Yeah, because they have the property rights.
They have the rights to those.
To New Mutants?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What did I think?
Yeah, everything X-Men related.
Yeah.
Fox owns all that shit.
For some reason, I thought Marvel was doing that.
Well, I mean, they are in some capacity.
Look, Marvel's name is on it because
they created it, but it's still Fox.
Yeah.
I think they'll allow it to stay R-rated. I think they are smart enough to know that, like, this is a very successful franchise and it's successful because it's done the way that fans want. And I don't think they'll take that away.
Yeah. I mean, I agree, because that's the thing. Like, Disney, throughout the years, Disney has owned a lot and they've owned other companies that put out R-rated films.
Sure.
It's just, you know what I mean? Like, you don't say Disney. That's all.
Yeah.
That's how you avoid that.
Yeah.
You know,
even now, the Disney movies, they don't have that opening with the castle and everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
And even though Marvel owns all the, Disney owns all the Marvel properties, they're not putting Disney's Marvel on.
Yeah.
They're just doing Marvel. So you'll still probably have an R-rated Deadpool that they're just going to distance themselves as far as the Disney branding.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it's not going to be Walt Disney Pictures proudly presents Deadpool.
For the whole family.
Yeah. Be some wack shit if they did.
It totally would.
I just can't wait to see the Mickey Deadpool crossover stuff. That's going to be great.
So Mikey, so aside from the possible tapering of Deadpool and kind of nerfing him, if you will, do you have other concerns? Like, you're not, because I feel like you're not completely wild about this idea right out the gate,
honestly,
as most other people are.
Yeah, honestly, I'm not. I feel like, but it is a mixed bag, because with the things that they have done with the other franchises, I feel like we might get an X-Men movie that is just mind-blowing.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it's hard to say. Like, also, I'm kind of X-Men'd out,
mm-hmm.
just because of all the other stuff that's come before it.
Sure.
And I feel like if they were going to jump in and tackle it, then we're going to see basically a new X-Men. It's going to be a reboot on the X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a reboot on the Fantastic Four. It's, you know what I mean? There's like all these things that I'm just kind of done seeing reboots on. And even at the idea that they're going to be done well, it's like I'm kind of beyond the point of caring.
Well, the only, like, everybody's been playing around, like, anybody who's been following this has been kind of playing around with the idea of, like, how are you going to introduce them, especially the X-Men, into the MCU? And the best way to do it, I think, and a lot of other people think so, is to do the Avengers versus X-Men.
Which has been a popular thing in the comics.
Yeah.
So.
Like, and that shook everything up, because you had Wolverine, who was an Avenger at the time, going up against the X-Men, and it was a great bit of writing, and it was a great book. So, yeah, I think, honestly, it is the best way to introduce all these Fox properties.
Mm-hmm. I think we're operating under the assumption that they're going to try to do all of these like instantly.
Yeah.
Which I don't think they will. And even I feel so bad. Just watching him eat this disgusting piece of shit candy cane.
So gross.
I don't think they're going to jump the gun and try to make all of these, you know, right away. Sure, they're going to acquire these rights, but there's the other thing too is outside of just the Marvel properties that Fox owns. They own Aliens. That's a whole different thing that hasn't been touched in years, and they, you know, Disney will now have the rights to the Alien franchise.
Oh God!
Yeah,
Xenomorphs are going to show up in Star Wars.
Yeah, that's real.
I thought those rights reverted back to James Cameron.
They do after they go to Disney, but I'm pretty sure James Cameron owns Disney. So
ipso facto, James Cameron owns Disney.
Yeah. I mean, he does have an Avatar park at Walt Disney World. So
that is true. That is very true. So I think they're. I'm kind of burned out, but the idea of like a Fantastic Four movie that's watchable, that's enough to pique my interest. And am I gonna like clamor to see it? Probably not, even if it is made by Marvel Studios. But at the same time, like knowing it won't be abysmal it's refreshing. It's
a nice little worm on the hook.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And now that, you know, my thing is, I guess, all of these properties, whether it be Aliens, Marvel, X-Men, you know, all of that, it all goes to a place now where there is kind of almost unlimited resources to get some of the best actors, to get some of the best writers, to get some of the best directors, to make these movies.
Mm.
So.
I just don't know what.
Don't we get Blade think. Also?
No, Blade was New Line.
New Line is...
Is that Fox?
I think New Line is Fox.
Okay.
Is it?
I feel like... I don't think Blade is
that's
by itself.
That's so fucking but weird
they
about
got Blade
is like
and
how,
the Punisher back a couple... I want to say a couple years ago.
It's just so weird that like all of these smaller production studios that get bought out by the bigger ones. And
yeah.
You have no fucking idea who owns who. And
yeah.
Who
well,
owns
and
what.
If this deal goes through, it'll be the first time since these studios... released where there is no longer the big six. So I guess the big six would be, what was it, Disney, Fox, Paramount, Universal.
Disney owns Paramount though.
Do they?
Yeah. That's how they got all the Marvel franchise. Because Paramount originally distributed the Marvel movies and then Disney bought it out.
I don't think so.
That doesn't sound right.
That doesn't sound right either. Just look up the big six.
I could be totally wrong. They might have just bought the licenses from Paramount, but I thought they bought out Paramount.
What's funny is if you just start to type, does Disney own in there?
Fox.
Pretty much everything comes up.
Disney own everything?
Nobody knows what Disney owns, but everybody assumes they own everything.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is what it is. So it's Warner Brothers, 20th Century Fox, Paramount, so Disney does not own Paramount. Universal, Sony Pictures, and Walt Disney. Those are the big six, the big studios. So this will be the first time where it is no longer, six. It would go to five.
Imagine Disney just sitting there with like a fork and all the other guys are just
I'm eating all of them. I'm actually pretty surprised that like nobody's stepping in to kind of be like, Hey, this is a monopoly. You can't do that.
It's not.
I'm not yet.
Yeah, not yet, but it does feel like it's heading that way.
Yeah. I mean, cause if you think about it, out of those big six, the only ones that have really good, successful franchises that have managed to not even necessarily compete with Disney, but keep them open in this age are, Warner Brothers, and even they're kind of struggling, but at least Warner Brothers has enough properties, and then Universal. And that's it, because, I mean, Paramount can't be raking in the dough. Like, I know they're still making movies, but there's no way they're up there killing it. Sony is, they've been struggling.
They're
which is
in
why,
Disney's back pocket now.
Yeah, which is why they finally were like, okay, fine, you can borrow Spider-Man. it's going to be, I'm surprised no one is like, I don't care if Fox is going down. You can't take it.
Well, and even as it, I don't know. It doesn't, to me, this feels like such a weird thing for Fox to do, because I don't think Fox is hurting in any way. And for them to, you know, they've had, it's definitely been hit or miss, with their properties, but the fact that, like, Deadpool has done so well, and Deadpool 2 is sure to do well.
Right.
You know, the X-Men properties of, even when they haven't been good, I think they've done well financially.
Well enough.
Speaking.
Yeah, sure.
So it seems like such a weird move for them to be like, get them out of here.
Well, but I also think too, and this is something that I was reading on when I was kind of researching this a little bit, is that their Fox as a whole is actually trying to get out of film. Cause that they feel like, they don't have anything to offer when it comes to things like Amazon Prime, Netflix, all of these streaming services.
Yeah.
And they're not really going to get on board with it. So they would rather invest everything into, their sports and their Fox News channels and their unscripted television and all of those things that are still, you know, pretty big right now. And they'd rather just cut ties with the film industry that seems to be a struggle for them and just move it all to,
that makes perfect sense.
That's one of the reasons behind these negotiations, is that they just don't want to be in that business anymore.
So, all right.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, look, I think that Disney can do better with the properties?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I absolutely do. If what they've done thus far with Star Wars and
with everything,
Marvel has been an indicator, I do think that as far as movies are concerned, they'll be able to do better. Yeah, I'm in a weird place with it.
Yeah. Because
I don't think Fox does well with the Marvel properties overall.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how I feel about Disney. Because if it were Marvel getting their properties back, just straight Marvel, I'd be like, yeah, fuck, do it.
Right.
But the fact that Marvel or that Disney has bought Star Wars and Marvel and all these other things. And we are getting to a point where it's like, yeah, no, I joke about them running the world, but they're gonna get there very quickly.
Yeah. But think about all of those studios that you mentioned, because they Pixar and Lucasfilms and Marvel, and like, they own some of the most successful mini studios of all time.
Yeah.
Like, all of them. So they can literally once every quarter release a movie out of one of those studios and make a gazillion dollars. And I think they have continued that trend with things like that. Like, you know, they bought Pixar shortly after Pixar was like the new face of animation. It, you know, they made Toy Story. I think it went Toy Story, A Bug's Life, and then they did Cars. And Cars was like the last one they did on their own. Maybe Toy Story 2, but I know Cars was the last one they did on their own. And Disney was like, nope, we want this because this is going to be successful. And then, you know, when George Lucas was like, kind of over the Star Wars thing, guys, Disney was like, we'll take that. And then Marvel, Marvel was a risk. I think that was a big risk for them because there's no way to have known that it was going to be this successful.
I think they
looked at Iron Man and were like, this could be something.
Yeah, but they were already well into the MCU before Disney stepped in and purchased them.
How many movies did they make on their own?
I think it was Iron Man and I think maybe Thor, and then the announcement came out.
That Disney bought it?
Yeah. Because the first, all Phase 1 movies still had the Paramount logo in the front.
Oh. They, really? Marvel was releasing them through Paramount?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I don't, that doesn't feel right.
Yeah, it doesn't feel right either.
I thought that Marvel Studios was an independent studio
in the
beginning. So I don't think
anybody
was
involved. It was distributed through Paramount Studios. I'm fairly certain about
that. He's going to make you look this up. I'm going to make you look this
up
because I need to know.
You guys keep talking. I'm the one making these ridiculous claims.
These are important things. These are things that matter. No, they were an independent studio, and one of the reasons they don't own all of their rights is because they were an independent studio and they didn't have any fucking money.
Okay, so Disney purchased Marvel in 2009. Mm-hmm. Okay, so just put that number in your
head. Got it.
Okay. And then we'll figure out when these movies came out.
Well, Iron Man was 2008?
2008, yeah.
Yes.
So they weren't that far into the universe.
Was it 2008?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm almost 100% positive Iron Man was 2008.
It was 2008.
Yeah. So that they weren't, they had one movie. Disney was like, we want this too.
I don't know. Well, let's do this. Let's take our next commercial break. We've got a lot of Googling to do, apparently. So when we come back, we'll possibly have more accurate information to further discuss this. If you wish to join the conversation, give us a call on 909-360-8330. Messages on Facebook, facebook.com/jackofallnerds, or on twitch.tv/jackofallnerds as well. And we will be right back.
It's uncensored. It's live 24/7. It's chaoticradio.com.
You're listening to the Deadpool Show, starring me, Deadpool.
What? What do you mean that's not on the cards? Oh, all right. You're listening to the Jack of All Nerds on Chaotic Radio. Chaotic. I'm going to go get some pancakes.
Welcome back to the Jack of All Nerds on Chaotic Radio. Tonight we are talking about the prospect of Disney purchasing all the stuff.
All of the things ever.
Yeah, everything. Before the break, we had ran into some confusion about when Disney purchased Marvel, so we were doing the research. And holy shit, is this complicated, guys.
Why you gotta go make things so complicated?
So here's the thing. So here's how the movies were released. It was Iron Man, Incredible Hulk 2008, Iron Man 2 in 2010, Thor 2011, Captain America 2011, Avengers 2012, and then Iron Man 3 in 2013. So here's how it all shakes down.
It gets, it's so crazy.
So while Disney did purchase Marvel Studios in December of 2009, apparently the distribution of the films was still taken care of by Paramount.
Yeah.
Paramount until 2012. And then Disney took over from there. But apparently there was some sort of licensing deal through Iron Man 3 that Paramount could still keep their logo on all of the promotional shit, even though Disney had taken over at that point.
That's the fucking cliff notes. Marvel Studios has bounced around to almost every studio at one point or another. They were partnered with Artisan at one point, which isn't a thing. They were with New Line Cinema, which is where we got Blade.
Universal?
This is how Paramount got them. Mm-hmm. So they were with Lionsgate for a while, and then Lionsgate, couldn't afford to bankroll them anymore. So they went to Universal, and Universal dragged their feet. So while they were in talks with Universal, they went to Paramount. Paramount was like, yeah, that's great. And Paramount bought them. So then they were owned by Paramount up until, Disney bought them for $4 billion in 2009.
Yeah, they just throw around $4 billion like it's nothing.
Dude, I was reading the history of Marvel Studios and I'm like, my brain hurts. Like, it is so fucking confusing. And I guess that's the Spider-Man deal that they had with Sony was like negotiated all the way back then. Like, They had in 2011, they already had that deal of like, they could do the distribution rights to all the merchandising if they got to keep the film rights. And then later they would collaborate on that. So like the whole thing of it being like, they never wanted to release it and they never wanted to work with Disney. That actually wasn't the case. They were just waiting for the time down the line. Yeah.
And when they get hacked, perfect time to do it.
It's the time to go.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nutty. But. Yeah.
So what do you think should be the first movie they make if this deal goes through. Like, of all the 20th Century Fox properties they're gonna get back. Doesn't even have to be Marvel. Just,
I think they need to drip feed it in a little bit first. And then, like, we'll get like little, almost cameos. You know, maybe a shot here of, you know, Professor X and the X-Men seeing the Avengers do something on TV. But I think ultimately it needs to be Avengers versus X-Men.
Okay. All right.
Because you can't do Civil War. I mean, you've already done that. You've already established that.
So you're saying, out of everything that 20th Century Fox owns,
mm-hmm.
if Disney's going to take something and remake it, what should be the first one that they do?
Yeah.
Okay. Dude, Where's My Car?
Solid. Solid. Solid choice.
Yeah.
As with Owen Wilson as the car. Wow. You guys are really baked. Wow.
Hey, I'm lost. Wow.
I actually, in all seriousness, I think I always felt like Glitter could have probably used a rehash.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
No, nobody wants that.
Yeah. I mean, this is good. I think Mariah's still looking for work, so.
Guys,
well,
after
last year's New Year's show.
I'm actually just looking at properties. Big Mama's House. Anyone? You guys want to see? God. You guys want to see Disney do Big Mama's House?
I would like to see Disney do Big Mama's Haunted Mansion.
God. Bedazzled? They can do another remake of that?
That's all right.
No?
Okay. I'm actually okay with the last one.
Castaway 2? Yeah? Anyone? No?
God. Where's Wilson?
Where's Wilson?
That would be funny. Tom Hanks' character goes out searching for Wilson and then gets stranded on the fucking island again.
Oh, shit. Moulin Rouge, eh?
There's so many puns here.
I know.
Moulin Rouge, it's about a Chinese woman who becomes a French cabaret dancer. Moulin Rouge.
Kung Pao, Into the Fist.
I'm waiting for a sequel for that one.
Yeah.
That needs to happen.
But a Disney-helmed Kung Pao?
Maybe.
Apparently Fox owns all the Alien versus Predator shit.
They do.
So
they absolutely do.
We could see a...
Maybe?
We could see a Disney version. What is a Disney version of Alien versus Predator?
I honestly don't know, man.
Is it animated? Is it live action?
It's Pixar for sure.
Is it? So they're going to give the aliens and the predators feelings?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
It's going to... Randy Newman's going to do the soundtrack?
I was just going to say...
Guys...
You got a friend in me. It turns into a buddy film?
Buddy cop film?
That's exactly what happens too.
I don't want to see that.
No.
Guys, Dodgeball, a true underdog story. That's 20th Century Fox.
It's true.
Oh man.
See a sequel of that, huh?
this is a lengthy one. I don't know if this is meant for me to read on the air, but I'm going to do it because it's long. It says Fox's biggest franchise is currently Avatar. Disney has theme park rights for Avatar in Florida, which they recently opened up a whole new land at Animal Kingdom in Orlando. New Avatar movies are getting ready to go into production. With Disney purchasing Fox, they would gain Marvel licenses that Fox held. Avatar, which they invested a ton of money into, and a shitload of new properties for their theme parks, as well as new ones. Media networks. Like, this... Disney, I swear to Christ, guys, Disney's gonna fucking own the world.
Yeah.
With all this shit.
Oh, just Die Hard.
Are they gonna own Die Hard?
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, holy shit. Yeah.
Derek.
Oh, I finally got the movie.
Unfortunately, you saying that, all that means to me is that all Die Hards moving forward are going to be like A Good Day to Die Hard.
No, I got it. This is beautiful. Oh, this is great. John McClane takes his kids to Disneyland. Just as the terrorists take over the park.
I don't know that Disney would ever allow that.
Yeah, no, they would never.
They would never. They would never let their park be. Like, maybe they'll work out something so that the Paramount theme park gets taken over.
Yeah. Yeah. This one, I think Disney will probably make 1,000 of, but they will get the Ice Age properties.
Oh, yeah.
So they'll, Ice Age meets Frozen, I'm sure. Fuck. Oh, yeah, Avatar. They'll get the rights for those.
Yeah, and that movie's just got a shit ton more money.
Yeah. They own all the Percy Jacksons, the Diaries of Wimpy Kids.
The Chronicles of Narnia stuff is all.
That seems like it's made for Disney.
You know,
doesn't it though?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
Which is good, because we might actually get more movies out of that franchise now, so.
The A-Team?
The Percy Jackson movies.
Yeah.
I can see Disney doing a lot of good with that too.
I think they could.
Yeah.
Kingsman? Really?
Oh no. Yeah.
Yeah, that is 20th century. Holy shit. Yeah.
Guys, done deal. Alvin and the Chipmunks. Shipwrecked, baby.
Independence Day.
What? I've never gone through this and realized how many fucking properties, like franchises and stuff they actually own.
We will most definitely might get the,
Assassin's Creed.
Taken.
Oh man.
Actually though, here's the thing. I will say I know Independence Day Resurgence was trying to do that. Hey, it's gonna be a trilogy and the third one's gonna be in space, but nobody liked our movie. Disney could probably put
new blood into it, yeah.
Yeah.
Give it a transfusion.
Could turn that shit around.
Yeah.
Bring, Stephen Hiller back from the dead.
Well, someone say that Narnia was Disney distribution at one time.
I thought it was too, yeah. Hmm.
They must have given it away then.
They did.
Or sold it.
Wasn't making
that shit back. Night at the Museum. They can get all those.
So what do you think, aside from just all the properties that they own, just strictly speaking of the comic book properties that they're going to get out of this, all the X-Men stuff,
mm-hmm.
What do you think? What do you think Marvel/Disney should handle?
I want to see, Wolverine on the Avengers. Absolutely. And that's the one thing Hugh Jackman said he would come back and do the role for, is if Logan got to be an Avenger.
How do they handle that though?
I don't know.
Yeah, they just don't explain it. He's just in the movie he just has there. A big part. Like
they can recruit him.
Kind of give him the Hulk treatment.
Yeah, right.
Maybe.
I feel like that's how they should go with the Fantastic Four, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I feel like they should be introduced in one of the Avengers films.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You kind of do the Black Panther treatment where we get to see him. And we get introduced to the characters in another movie that everyone likes.
Yeah.
And you just, like, give us the razzle-dazzle to where we're like, hey, yep. These guys are actually kick-ass.
Yeah.
Then you give them their own movie.
Yeah.
That's the only way that I would be excited for another reboot of those characters.
I will agree with you, and I think that's probably their best move, is to introduce characters. And I actually think the Fantastic Four is a great place to start, because I think while I don't necessarily want to see another reboot of it, it is a franchise that, when in the right hands, those characters are interesting. Like, they're really good. They just haven't been made well yet. And I think if Marvel Studios and Disney really want to show what they can do, and they want to kind of prove good on their investment, that them getting these rights is really the best thing that can happen, then giving Fantastic Four that treatment where you put them in a franchise that everybody's already going to love, you make them one of the highlights of those movies, and then drag them out and give us that reboot. And it gives you a little bit of time to, you know, from the nasty palate of the one that we had just now.
Yeah.
It kind of separates it by a little bit longer. I think it would be a good after phase four to kind of start with the Fantastic Four.
Okay. What about the X-Men? How do you think the X-Men should be handled?
Oh man. That's a tough one, because there are so many fucking X-Men movies, and there's so many that are just hit or miss. It's like every other one is like,
I think you do X-Men 92, man.
Well, do you think they should handle it with taking the current iteration of the X-Men and Dark Phoenix forward, but in a better way? Or
yeah, but the problem is that with Dark Phoenix, like, they're already doing that, regardless of whether this deal goes through or not.
Yeah, that,
like,
movie's already in,
that's already in production. So we're already going to get a 20th Century Fox version of Dark Phoenix. I think with X-Men, I think what they should probably do is maybe deal in characters that we don't hear about very often, but we would like to see. And instead of just diving right into something like Wolverine, because I feel like, especially with something like Logan, where, you know, Logan was a really good send off to that character. And I thought it was done very well. And, I don't know that I just want to see him come back because now there's somebody else. There's a new owner in town. Like, I almost just kind of want that story to stay where it's at. And, you know, there are so many fucking X-Men and there's so many great X-Men that it would almost make sense to kind of move forward and just do some of these side characters that we've always wanted to see. And I think a great example of that is what Deadpool did, where we finally get to see the Colossus we've always wanted to see. You know what I mean? And, like, yeah. I think that's kind of the way that they should go with that.
Okay. The thing of it is, like, Disney, they're a business. They know they're a business. They're into making money, which is why they continue to buy these successful or, you know, semi-successful things.
Yeah.
And either continue the direction they were headed or they give it a kind of a retool,
mm-hmm.
you know, and really make it shine. And with Deadpool, I feel like they will just keep, if they're going to keep making Deadpool movies,
mm-hmm.
they'll just keep it going, but with everything that it's got going on right now.
Yeah.
Like, they will recognize that, though, that is what makes money on this film is yeah. that they've, the darkness and the language and yeah. the jokes and all that stuff. They'll just, again, they'll keep it away from the Disney name.
Right.
And they'll just keep it going that direction with Ryan Reynolds and all that stuff. Like, I just don't see them changing that. Whereas stuff that hasn't worked so well in the past, you know, like the Fantastic Four, for example, and the constant changing of the guard with the X-Men movies, like, I don't know that they'll necessarily keep what's going on there,
mm-hmm.
or just, I think they might just wipe the slate clean and start new.
You think so?
Yeah.
And just basically do a new origin and, you know, all new.
Well, that's why I think X-Men 92 would be great, because they haven't really focused on that, and it was kid-centric. I mean, they dealt with, you know, some adult themes in that, but it was, I mean, the colors that they used in the books and on the cartoon were stuff that lended itself towards kids.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, and we don't need a full origin of the X-Men again. If they just wanted to kick it off with Jubilee as our intro to the team,
yeah,
would be fine. Like, I could get down with that.
You mean you don't want to see a Jubilee Dazzler kind of team up movie?
No, nor do I want to see the Jubilee storyline with Rogue.
Okay.
I don't want to see that. They don't.
I don't know what you mean.
I just want to see a badass Rogue. I'm tired of this.
Oh, yeah.
Rogue can't do shit except ruin the movie.
Yeah.
It is one of the most annoying things, because it's like, she was one of my favorite characters in the X-Men.
She was such a badass.
She was such a badass. And then she shows up in this fucking franchise, and it's like, yeah, bitch, just wear gloves and cry a lot. Like, what did you do to her?
Yeah.
They nerfed her.
They did. They nerfed Rogue, goddammit.
Well, they just neutered the X-Men, honestly.
Yeah, they really did.
Overall.
Yeah, that's true. They did.
Because there's a lot of great things about all those characters, and it was one of those things where, yes, we do have to give Fox credit, because the success of the original X-Men is kind of
what's kicked off this whole comic book craze.
That's true.
But it was one of those things where the biggest thing to come from that movie was Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, and it kind of felt like after that it was every X-Men movie was just all about Wolverine.
And that's been one of my biggest complaints about that franchise overall, which is why I was actually really happy Logan ended the way that it did, because I do want to see non-Wolverine-centric X-Men. And, like, we were talking about nerfing characters, like, Cyclops is not a whiny bitch. Like,
He's just a Boy Scout.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, yes, he's a do-gooder, but there's never been any iteration that I've seen where I'm just like, fuck this guy. Why is he even on the team? Like, he's the fucking leader of the X-Men most of the time. Like, yeah, the dude is a gangster. Like, and they just completely ruin it, and he's always brushed to the side because Hugh Jackman is Wolverine. Yeah. So my hope is that now that he's kind of removed, my hope is they kind of retool, you know, Cyclops and give him a lot more of the stuff that we know that he can do.
I just thought of this. We might actually get a good Gambit movie now.
Oh.
I think that would be great.
Yeah. Well, it'd only be great with Channing Tatum. So.
Fuck you. No, it wouldn't. How dare you?
I just wanted to see Mike's face. That was it. This is the only reason I even said it.
Look, there was actually, having seen Channing Tatum in a couple of movies where he didn't irritate the fuck out of me,
mm-hmm.
I did reach a point where I was like, just do it. Just
put it out there. Get it over with. Rip it off like a Band-Aid.
Yeah, just make this movie.
But actually, I think his occasion, I think he'd be okay. As a Cajun. I actually think he'd pull it off.
If he did it Cajun. Cause the last one wasn't Cajun.
Well. He tried.
We don't have to talk about that.
He tried in places, I guess.
Here and there.
But yeah, I mean, like, after seeing him in, Kingsman, mm-hmm. the second Kingsman, like, yeah. I honestly, and having him in that movie and having the thought of this movie could use
just a little more.
Could use a little more of
just
him.
Just a little more Tatum.
And I never thought I would find myself saying this movie could use more Channing Tatum. Like, he might be able to pull off a Gambit, you know? So.
Yeah. Well, and I don't actually hate Channing Tatum as much as everybody else. Like, the things that he's really known for, I can't stand. Like, all the Step Up and
the Magic Mike.
Magic Mike. Magic Mike's not made for me, so I don't care. But like, the Step Ups and the things that you really like launched him into stardom, all of that is garbage to me. But for me, I love 21 Jump Street. I love 22 Jump Street. And I think he should just do stuff like that.
My thing is, I think Channing is too big, too physically big.
Yeah. Oh.
So like, he'd have to really slim down for the role. But let me throw this name at you.
Okay. Oh shit.
And after I say it, I don't think anybody listening or you two in this room are ever going to be able to see this character without this guy.
I swear to God, if you say Nicolas Cage, I'm going to dick punch you.
No, Weird Al Yankovic.
No. No. All right. But honestly, Gambit's catchphrase is going to have to change to, all right, all right, all right.
You said I'm a bitch. Too old, man. Way too old.
What the fuck? Yeah, it doesn't matter. They do beautiful things with digital. He's thin enough.
Yeah.
He's got the wiry frame. He could do it.
I mean,
absolutely.
He could, but I mean, Gambit's more of an acrobat. I can't see McConaughey doing that kind of shit.
Yeah. Like, he would do it himself. Get the fuck out of here.
Did you not see him in the Dark Tower?
Yeah.
I didn't. No.
Nobody did.
No. Just us. We were the only two.
It was just us.
All right. That's fine. I mean.
Look, I hate myself for saying that, but if you have to pick like a big name.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I think he's not that off.
He's not that, just cause look, nobody's Tom Cruise, alright? He's not gonna do his own fucking stunt work, okay? It's fine.
Yeah, if Tom were gonna play Gambit, he would teach himself how to become a mutant. Like, he would just...
he's hardcore method.
He would just learn how to kinetically transfer energy into objects and make them blow up. And also, Gambit would suddenly have a lot more running in his character.
Yeah. Yeah. He absolutely would.
But again, he's not tall enough, so.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I could see it. I could see it. I don't hate it, surprisingly.
So one of our listeners said one of the things they would love to see is it looks like a lot of X properties, but a decent Generation X movie or X Factor.
Mm-hmm. X Factor would be dope.
Or Excalibur.
Excalibur
would be great.
Yeah, that's good.
Get Nightcrawler and Colossus. Mm-hmm. Who else? Moon Knight.
I think there.
That's a movie I'd like to see too.
Moon Knight.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I would love to see a great Moon Knight film. And that's one of those characters too that it's almost like a Marvel Batman, but with that kind of supernatural, spiritual slant on it. If it were done right, it could be a great
flick. Who would you get to play Moon Knight?
To play Moon Knight? Holy shit. I don't know, because it's one of those characters where it...
You never see his face.
It could be anybody.
Yeah.
Well, in the more recent, they did a recent Moon Knight title.
Yeah.
And you did see a lot more of Mark Spector. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't know. That's one of those, could be any white dude that you want.
Honestly, if you... Mark Strong would be a good pick for that.
I could see that.
Too old.
Yeah.
You know, actually, who could probably do a good Moon Knight is Nicolas Cage. I'm kidding. I don't believe that in any way, shape, or form. I don't support that statement. I don't.
I mean, he's the best ghostwriter, so, you know.
No, he's not. The one that got on S.H.I.E.L.D. was better.
I mean, he was in a movie called Moonstruck.
Yeah.
It's like the same thing. Same thing.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, you're right.
But I do agree. I think taking one of those, kind of lesser known, groups of characters or X-Men characters and really developing them. I mean, and I actually think that that's probably one of Marvel's strong suits when you look at taking something like, fuck, even Iron Man. Yes, now everybody fucking knows who Iron Man was or is, but like, He was kind of relatively obscure. You know what I mean? Like, he's a relatively obscure guy, when it comes to those properties. And for them to basically launch a 17 film franchise off of this character, and then you do stuff like Doctor Strange and Guardians of the Galaxy, who even some of your most hardcore nerds had no fucking idea who those characters were. Ant-Man, Black Panther, all these characters that like are kind of on the outskirts, and they've made them into properties where you're like, no, I have to watch them in everything now.
Yeah. Well, and that's the Marvel has said that the Avengers Infinity War is supposed to be like the end all, the kibosh of the original MCU. Like they're going to start a whole bunch of new stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and Ant-Man and Wasp
is the end of the story.
It's
the
first one after, right?
Yeah.
So,
but that's the thing. Like, it's not the end of the MCU. It's just, this is the end of this story.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so it all culminates with this.
That, and if they do purchase all these properties, we can get so much other stuff to breathe new life into, so many more new stories. Mm-hmm. The X-Men, and some of these other lesser known characters, like you say, would be great. I don't know. Sky's the limit at this point, except for obviously Spider-Man.
One of our listeners said, if you want to get Mike to grumble, tell him Norman Reedus should play Gambit.
I'm not opposed to that, actually.
Oh, wow. Hey, he's thinking. That he didn't grumble. He's actually considering this idea.
I mean,
he does a good Irish accent.
He does a terrible Irish accent, actually. They both do.
Yeah.
I mean, he is the dreamiest member of The Walking Dead, so. I have a hard time picturing his face as Gambit, and which is a weird statement when I suggested Matthew McConaughey, but when I'm picturing that stupid that little black cowl that Gambit wears, I could see McConaughey's face in there. Norman Reedus, I have a harder time picturing, but I'm not groaning at it, I think. Yeah. You know, if I was willing to be like, all right, let's do Tatum. I think I could.
It can only go up.
Yeah, I think I could handle that. I think I could do that.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't know that he could really do. I don't know if I'd buy him as far as the act. Like,
he's got an in. He already speaks French.
So. Yeah. I don't know if I'd buy him as a down south from Louisiana boy.
Played it fine on Walking Dead.
Not really.
No?
No, because they're all from, like, fuck off Alabama or something like that.
Atlanta, but, you know.
Whatever. Shut up. I don't want you.
Georgia.
Georgia.
I'm dying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'd buy that. I'd watch that movie.
Would you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Here it
is. Here's the thing. As much as I love Gambit, with Disney buying these properties, I don't think we need a Gambit movie now. I think we need another fucking X-Men movie with Gambit involved.
Yes, I agree.
A badass Gambit, a badass Rogue,
and
whiny Cyclops.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I know studios don't like to do this, but I think we need to get some fucking fresh blood in there. Some people that aren't huge as these characters. Sure, get your fucking Patrick Stewarts or whatever to play Professor Xavier. Your right. big heavy hitters to play those big characters. But they should be some relatively unknowns. I mean, Hugh Jackman was not a household name
no. right.
when he played Wolverine.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, and that's no, where I think it right. needs to be.
yeah, but, I agree.
That's what I like what they're doing with New Mutants. Mm-hmm. Like, the only person I recognized on that cast were Maisie Williams mm-hmm. and the Dr. something Vega. I can't remember her first name, but she's yeah. in a bunch of stuff.
I just don't know how I feel about it being a horror flick.
Well, it's always, like, the comic book has always been kind of horror-esque.
I know it has that kind of darker tone, but I don't know. We'll see. I'm still going to see it.
I just find it funny that Maisie Williams playing Wolfsbane.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she's a Stark.
yeah. You get it? You get it, guys? But no, I agree. I think they should. I think this is their opportunity to kind of do a new Hugh Jackman and do a new Chris Pratt. Like,
yeah.
I mean, Chris Pratt, look, people know him from Parks and Rec, but he was not a household powerhouse that he is now, where it's like, we gotta put Chris Pratt in fucking everything. And it wasn't until Guardians of the Galaxy, and then all of a sudden, he's fucking launching Jurassic World, and you can't escape Chris Pratt now. And I think they were only able to do that because they found these relatively unknowns and then launched them into superstardom.
There is one way you can get away from Chris Pratt, and that's if your name is Anna Faris, but...
Ouch.
Fucking shots Ouch. Fired, dude. Jesus.
Oh, I'm sorry, is she listening? I don't think so.
Look, this is a guy who has so much charisma, right, that he can play...
Charisma.
Sorry. That you can put him in this sci-fi film where he basically forces...
A woman to love him?
Yeah. And then she does...
Like, yeah, look, man.
I'm gonna break open your pod, and we're gonna spend the rest of our fucking lives together alone on this spacecraft, and then you're gonna find out that I did that, and you're gonna be like, sure, this might as well happen.
All right, from the outside, not knowing what you're talking about, this sounds like it almost could be Guardians of the Galaxy.
what is it? I don't even know. The name.
Passengers.
Yeah. It's such a deplorable plot.
It really is.
It's terrible, but yeah. I think because the guy, I mean, he did like kind of survive by himself for like what 3 years, a year.
I don't know how much time it was.
It was a while.
But yeah. Here's the thing: if I'm a young attractive lady, and I have to be pulled out of suspended animation to find out that I'm gonna have to spend the next 90 years with a man. Only to find out that he opened my pod and forced me to do this. If I came to and it was like me or you or Derek, and then I found out, I'd be fucking furious.
But if it's Chris Pratt.
But if it's Chris Pratt, I'd be like, shit, all right.
Look, there's worse ways to spend a life you didn't know you were going to have to
yeah.
have.
Yeah.
I feel like...
Kind of be okay with it at that point.
You know, two-thirds of us are decent looking.
I mean, if it were like Parks and Rec Chris Pratt, maybe I'd be like, okay, pal.
But it kind of was Parks and Rec Chris Pratt, because it wasn't Chris Pratt. He was just some, like, fucking engineer asshole.
Yeah.
But he still had...
No, he was still Chris Pratt. Make no mistake.
He still had the Guardians Jurassic World body going on.
Yeah.
So.
And he's... Look, Chris has been very clear that he's never going back to fat Chris Pratt. Like, he's... Fat Pratt. He's made it very clear. And what's funny is if you actually read about it, like, he got that fat because of, like, the challenge from his friends. Like, they wanted to see, like, how big he could get. And then he was like, I'm dying slowly. So he just, like, I'm going to get healthy. And then he did. And he was like, cool. This is where I'm going to be now forever. So.
Yeah.
But anyway. The point is, if you're beautiful, you can basically force someone to love you. That's the moral of the story, right?
Yeah, and that is why Disney shouldn't buy Fox.
I mean, Disney is very good looking. And
nailed it, guys.
Fox
fucking nailed it.
Stuck the landing. All right. Anyway, we are out of time. So once again, guys, I don't know what, it's not once again because you can't buy tickets because it's already sold out, but
sorry, this super week, excited though. Fuck,
that's right,
can't
man.
Wait.
Fucking Star God,
I
Wars.
Wait. I feel like it crept up on me as much as I've been excited about it. Like it, I haven't wrapped my head around the fact that like we are now going to see another Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, I can't wait.
This week, man.
Crept up. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. So if you already have your tickets for the Four Color event, we look forward to seeing you guys there. It's going to be amazing.
It's going
to
be a zoo is what it's going to be.
Also, we got to see a special little sneak preview of Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle.
Welcome to the Jungle.
And there is a Cineblokes review of the film out, so go check it out on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play.
We can talk about that next week.
No, because I don't even think it comes out.
It doesn't even come out till like the 20th.
Yeah, it's like the 20th, the 22nd or something like that. Yeah.
So we won't get to talk about it.
Yeah, we saw it quite early.
Yeah.
I had a bunch of people that were mad about that too, and they were like, I'm going this weekend. And I was like, eh, I don't think so.
Saint it.
We never get to do stuff like that though.
No,
we're always the last ones to see fucking everything.
It's very rare, so it was kind of cool to be like, suck it.
Yeah.
Everyone else. Anywho. I mean, it's not like it was a big... If you had Amazon Prime, you could have seen it.
Yeah,
so.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Anyway, guys, of course, as always, new Dark Crusader comic strip comes out Tuesday. You can listen to this in podcast form on our website, jackofallnerdshow.com, or on SoundCloud/HyperRPG, everybody. This has been the Jack of All Nerds. We will talk at you later.